you speaking to us. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst. That in all that is said and all that is done, that the name of Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is highly exalted in this place this morning. And we give you alone all the praise and the honor and the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Are we ready this morning? Are our hearts wide open? Folks, last week, those of us that were here, do you remember I shared from James? And I started speaking about James, you know, what we've been discussing, and really the interaction's been fantastic over the last 7 weeks now, where we've just been listening to an 8-minute teaching and then having discussions around the words that we speak. And the words that we speak are powerful. The words that we speak create, right? We create all the time. And, you know, we are, the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. And like I said last week, when God, He spoke things into existence. And if we are created in His image, when we speak, we need to know that there's power in our words. And there's also power in those negative words that we speak. So there's something, you know, at times our mouths, our lips have to be bridled. We need to make sure that there's a zip over them, because we don't want to say stuff where we're creating with our mouths and it's negative. Amen. So why I said all of that is because last week I shared out of James and I thought, well, we'd move on. But while I was reading last week about James, I carried on and I was reading other stuff and I thought, well, you know what? Let's just stay in James. So that's what we're going to do here today. And I put a title to this message, and it's a difficult one because I didn't know what to call it. But if you want to, just for our website, because of course these are recorded, the title is Patience and Other Challenges. All right, Patience and Other Challenges. So here I want to start off with a question for us this morning. Do you find it difficult to be patient? Is patience difficult for you? You don't have to answer that question. All right, speak to yourself. Do you find it difficult to be patient? You know, are you one of those? Because it has a religious slant to it as well. We can say, oh Lord, give me patience, but I want it now. That's not demonstrating patience, folks. You know, someone once said that patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in woman and never in a man. Author unknown. But when I saw that, I thought, this is actually so true. How are you with patience? How are you with patience? You know, there seems to be always something that is going to kind of stretch our patience, that's going to kind of niggle us, and it just gets in our space when it comes to this thing of patience. You know, having to wait is difficult at times. We're waiting, and of course when we're waiting with things all the time, it's stretching our patience. We're waiting in traffic. I hear Krisha when she comes home, hey man, I had to wait in Woolies. Like, you wait in queues in Woolies when they got just crowds of people and they got 2 tills open. Any experience that? How do we handle those sort of things? We wait, we go for that interview, and then we wait to hear about that new job. We wait to complete school, and then we wait to finish university, and then, I mean, there's a lot of waiting that actually goes on. And I need to say this, that every single day you and I will be presented with an opportunity for training in patience. We need to be trained in this. This is not going to just happen that we suddenly become patient people. You know, we can, how can I say, resent. We can resent waiting. In fact, we can also accept waiting. We can get very good at waiting. But the bottom line is, whether you like it or not, you and I are going to go through times where we're going to be waiting, and you just can't avoid it. And it's in those situations that we need to make sure that we have patience. So this morning, I just want to speak briefly, and I won't be too long here this morning, but let's just see what James has to, first of all, say about patience, and then he speaks about some other challenges that we do experience. So if you've got your Bibles, I'm reading from James 5, verse 7. And he starts off, and he says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until he receives the early and the late rains." Verse 8 says, "You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you might not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And as an example of suffering and patience," there it is again, brothers, "take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast." Now, steadfast is another word for patience. Being patient in this context. "You have heard of the steadfastness of Job," or the patience of Job, "and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." So, in this portion of Scripture right here, James addresses, he actually addresses problems, three issues here, that we might face when problems actually come our way. When problems come against us, when we're surrounded with problems, when problems seem to overwhelm us, this is what he is speaking about. And the first one is that we are tempted to lose patience. Amen? How many of us? When you're surrounded with problems, we are tempted to lose patience. The second one is that we are tempted to lose perspective, and I'll speak more about that now. And then the third thing that he touches on is that we are then tempted to start to blame other people when we are experiencing a whole lot of problems in our lives. So let's just have a look at these three very quickly here this morning. So when we are tempted to lose patience, the first one, and remember, folks, whatever it is that you are waiting for, the wait is worth it. It's really worthwhile if you're waiting for something. He says in verse 7, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until he receives the early and the late rains." Verse 8, "You also, be patient." Now, that's interesting because that is not James suggesting that we be patient. This is James actually instructing us. This is James commanding us. This is actually an instruction or a command from the Lord for us believers, and I'll show you why it's for believers now. So it's not a suggestion, it's actually a command that he's given us, and he's given us that you and I as believers should be patient. Now, if you have to look at the context of what James is, you know, who he's writing to, he was writing to a lot of people that were experiencing tremendous difficulty. People that were experiencing persecution. This is who he's been writing to. And the previous verses actually indicate, if you go back a little bit, that it was the wicked rich. The wicked rich. And they were oppressing and they were also persecuting Christians. The wicked rich people. And basically James was saying, listen, you know, the wicked rich, don't worry about them. Their time is coming. The Lord will deal with them, right? But in it, make sure that you're conducting yourself properly and that you're being patient. And folks, being patient is bearing someone else's offenses and also bearing injustices, being able to actually handle those things. And how we know that he is speaking to believers here and not unbelievers, and it's important that we know that he's speaking to believers, us, is that he uses the word brethren. In fact, he uses the word brethren four times in the previous verses. You can go to verse 7, you'll see it. You'll see it in verse 9. You'll see it in verse 10. You'll see it in verse 12 as well. Where he's speaking to brethren, he's speaking to believers. So it's only people who actually know God and trust God can have this type of patience that he's speaking about. Right? The word patience, what does it mean? Well, I'm going to say long-tempered. Is there such a word as long-tempered? We all know about short-tempered. Okay. So, short-tempered, we all know. Short-tempered is when you got a short fuse. Okay? So, patience is about being long-tempered. That means you got a long fuse. Right. And also, if you're going up and you look at the word, it also means, being patient means to be far away from anger and rage. And you normally find that people that are short-tempered, what happens? They get angry. Right? They get angry and rage starts to build up on the inside of them. So, being patient, making sure then that we stay away from anger. And we stay away from rage. The Bible talks about, you know, anger is an emotion that we all experience. And yet the Bible actually says, be angry, but do not sin. But we don't know where the line is. So a good idea is to just be on this side of the line, okay? Just don't get angry as often as you can. Or just don't get overly angry. But just, when you do get angry, don't sin. So the Bible says that you will know believers by their... You guys are amazing. You will know believers by their fruit. Now, it's very interesting because patience that we're speaking about here is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Is that true? Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. So, basically, the thing of patience is a characteristic of someone who is born again. Us. It's a characteristic of someone who is born again. It is one of those things that will actually set believers apart from the world. Patience. Folks, don't get me wrong. Okay, this is not easy, but it's a fact. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and we should be representing the Lord well out there. But it doesn't mean that patience comes easily, right? There's a price that you and I will pay for patience, because the easy road is impatience. How many of us find it easier to be impatient than it is to be patient? Oh, okay, so there's two, me and someone else. Listen, impatience, we can be impatient like that, but you know, making a decision, because when we make, when we are patient, it is really about us making a decision to be patient. In other words, what I'm saying is that the path of least resistance is be getting patient. Okay. So we all have experienced in our lives hurt. How many of you have experienced hurt in your life? We've experienced hurt. All of us, I'm sure, have experienced some form of mistreatment. Maybe we've experienced where there's a misunderstanding, whatever it might be. But folks, this thing of hurt, it actually comes from different sources. And it's something that we need to be careful of as well, because often you'll find that it might be as a result of domestic conflict. What's going on in your home? People getting hurt in your home. And so often, the people that are closest to us, they get hurt. It could be as a result of having difficult relatives. How many of you got difficult relatives like that in your face? Right? Yeah. Listen, this is one we don't often address. We have to be careful even dealing with our relatives and so on, right? That they don't actually bring us down, because they can hurt us, because those are people that are close to us. Maybe the hurt that you've experienced is as a result of people taking advantage of you. I'm sure all of us have experienced that. What about those so-called friends? We have those so-called friends out there that suddenly just turn on you. You know, they were your best buds. Now, suddenly, now they just turn on you. What about people who go out there and they start gossiping about you and telling lies about you? Now, we spoke about that part of it last week, because once those words, those lies are out there, you can't collect them. You can't. Many, many people's opinions will be changed because of those words. So when this happens, what is our natural response, or what is our response to this? often what we want to do, retaliate. Okay? We retaliate. We want to retaliate because that satisfies the flesh. Everything on the inside of you wants to rise up and come against that injustice, whatever it might be. So one of the things we do, we retaliate, then we want to pay evil for evil, and then we want to just get even. Huh? Just want to get even. And with that, it even feels nice to want to kind of hold a grudge. We just want to hold that grudge. You know, just that person must not come near me. Right? Folks, this is not good for us. It really isn't good for us. Remember that James had wrote this. James was a pastor. And James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem at that time. And basically what he's saying is that there is a better way to respond when we are exposed to these hurtful situations that come our way. We need to be mindful of it. So God is calling the Christian to overcome our natural reaction with a supernatural response. I'll say it again. He wants us to overcome our natural reaction with a supernatural response. And it's actually Peter that writes a little bit about this. I just want to read you a couple of verses from 1 Peter 2, verse 18. I'll start in verse 18. He says, "Servants, take orders from your masters with all respect, not only if they are good and gentle, but even if they are bad-humored." So, in our case, it could be our bosses. Take, you know, he says, you know, take orders from them. If they're bad-humored, maybe they're just grumpy. They're just grumpy all the time, and they don't speak to you well, and they don't respect you, whatever it is. He goes on to say, "For it is a sign of grace if a man, desiring to do right in the eyes of God, undergoes pain as punishment for something which he has not done." Interesting. Next verse says, "What credit is it if, when you have done evil, you take your punishment quietly, but if you are given punishment for doing right and take it quietly, this is pleasing to God." Folks, that's what the Word says. It's telling us how we need to respond in situations. So in other words, what we've seen here is enduring unfair treatment, right? It pleases God. Why? Why does it actually please God? Because we are using God's supernatural ability that is on the inside of us as believers, where we're demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit. We're able to go further. We're able to go beyond, you know, just what a normal human response would actually be. Okay, how's the temperature in here? Is it okay? All right, is this me that's getting hot under the... Hot! I think maybe you guys should move over. You're missing the aircon totally. If you want to, okay. It's cool on that side. All right, just be mindful of that. And also while we're talking about heat, That thing over there, that's a flue. That is the pizza oven. It's wonderful in midwinter. You see everybody huddle around that, okay? But in summer, maybe it's cooler on the side. Anyway, okay, so here now James actually gives a classic illustration of patience when he says, "See how the farmer waits." And why? Because the farmer is patient because of the value of the harvest that is coming. That wait, that justifies, it actually justifies kind of the wait and not being impatient because he knows what's coming. So while we are waiting, folks, now he's talking specifically here about people waiting for the return of the Lord. And I remember when I first got born again, there was such an incredible outpouring of the Spirit of God, people receiving salvation, just, it was amazing. But what I saw, even in those days, that many, many people now wanted to park off on Dad's yacht. Hey, Jesus is coming. Seriously, Jesus is coming soon. You know what? I even heard somebody say, "Well, I actually don't want to go to university. Jesus is coming soon." We have to be very, very, very careful about this. We don't park off on Dad's yacht. We need to be occupied, and we need to occupy until the return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that means that we should be involved in church, whatever it is. But the main thing, like I said earlier on, that you and I should be out there seeking and saving the lost, making sure that people are snatched out of the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of light. So we have to just be patient until Jesus comes again. He might come tomorrow. Might come later. Later than tomorrow. Okay. So, you know, it's interesting to note, because I just want to give us some information here, because some of the greatest missionaries of our times, you know, right throughout history, they devoted themselves, missionaries devoted themselves to going out into different places and spreading the seed of the gospel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The good news. That's what these missionaries did. And many of these missionaries had to wait long periods before seeing any fruit to their effort. First of all, I'll just give you a few. William Carey, he labored 7 years. 7 years. Just preaching Jesus, just telling them the truth, before he saw his first Hindu convert in Burma. 7 years. Amazing. Also, it took 14 years in West Africa when the missionaries actually went in there before they saw a person receive salvation. It took 9 years, the same thing in New Zealand, before they saw salvation. And it also took 16 years, they say, in Tahiti, before there was a salvation. So folks, these guys had to be patient. And once, you know, that fire was lit in all of those areas, we can see, you know, what's happening and the revival that's taking place. But some, we just have to be patient like them as well. You know, the word patient also means to endure under. None of us like to endure under, you know. I mean, under the circumstances. Well, we're not under the circumstances. Am I right? Like Cremora. Not inside, we're on top. Yes, those. We don't need to be patient, and this is important, when everything around you is going well. Think about it. How many of you really need to be patient when everything's just going well? Everything's running smoothly. You don't need patience then. We need to be patient when life is tough, when situations are difficult, when we are going through really, really tough times. That's when we need to be patient. And it's quite interesting, when you have a look at the word, you often see that suffering and patience, those things seem to go hand in hand. Suffering and patience. And the Bible speaks about the tribulation. You know, the tribulation is actually working patience in us. We know that scripture. So the first example I want to give us that James speaks about is in the Old Testament in James chapter 5 verse 10. He says, as an example of suffering and patience. There we see it. Patience, suffering, linked, right? As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And of course, we all know the difficulties that they went through as well. And we require patience when we experience any form of persecution. Any form of persecution. I want to tell you, you need patience. That thing that you're going through, that person in your office, that thing that somebody said to you, it takes patience. We require patience when we experience, as I say, any form of persecution. It's interesting here. I want to give us a scripture from 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. It says, indeed, now this is speaking to us. It says, all who desire to live a godly life. Who here wants to live a godly life? Okay. Most of us here. It says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's what it says. Read it. Will be persecuted. So that tells us, folks, that this, the world out there, they're not overly excited about you and I receiving, number one, receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they're not excited about you conducting yourself in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. That's just the way that it is. And then the second example he actually uses is the example of Job in verse James 5 verse 11, he says, "Behold, we count blessed those who endure." Have you heard of the patience of Job? And you have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is full of pity and of tender mercy. And of course, Job was a great example of endurance and patience. So, that's the thing about patience. Just quickly now, to go through the other two things that he spoke about. The second thing we do when we have problems come in that overwhelm us, the second thing according to James, is that we are tempted to lose perspective. When all, it's just problems around you, there's just problems around you continually, you lose perspective because we cannot see the trees or the wood for the trees in a situation like that. Nearly got that reversed. We can't see the wood for the trees, right? And folks, here is when we need to strengthen our relationship with the Lord. And that's what James says. When we are in that situation and we can't see the wood for the trees, we need to then make a decision to strengthen our relationship with the Lord. And in the second part of verse 8, James utters another command, not a suggestion. He says, "Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Establish your hearts. So he says that instead of, you know, feeling agitated, instead of actually feeling shaken up and, you know, bent out of shape when problems come, he says we must develop an inner sense of stability in terms of our relationship with the Lord. In other words, he's saying when the problems come, instead of running away from the Lord, we need to start to push in. So to establish your hearts is to strengthen our relationship with the Lord, and that's what we need to be doing. How do we do that? How do we actually strengthen our relationship with the Lord? The first thing, just spending time in prayer. Spending time in prayer. Prayer is not complicated. Prayer is us talking to God and God speaking to us, having that relationship. We start to praise Him and worship Him. That's part of it as well. Also, we start to spend time then in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, meditating on the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures. And then, of course, fellowship. The Bible says, do not neglect the gathering together of the saints. The thing of fellowship is so important with other Christians. And folks, it's not just here at coffee or at church. It has to be outside there as well. We need to develop relationships with other brothers and sisters that we allow them to speak into our lives, not just here on a Sunday. Is that true? Okay, so that's what we do there. So basically what he was saying, that when we are tempted to lose a perspective, what we need to do straight away is to then focus on keeping the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is that Jesus, we focus on Jesus, it's all about the King and it's all about His kingdom. And then just the last thing, as I close, that we are tempted to do when problems come. None of us do this, I'm sure. But what we are tempted to do, according to James, is we start to blame other people. Folks, we point a finger at one person, we know that there are three fingers pointing at us, all right? And it's quite interesting because impatience with our circumstances actually results in having been impatient with God. And when we become impatient with God, then we become impatient with God's people as well. And all it is, it's shown us where we are in terms of our walk with Him. So, question. What do you normally do when the pressure's on? What do you normally do when you just, all the problems are being thrown at you from all sides? What do? You know what we do? We go and find somebody to complain to, somebody who will listen. We find someone. You know that one? Well, you won't listen to. Well, I'll find somebody else. Hence the message from last week. Right? And then we start to lash out and we start to point fingers and when we start to, you know, accuse people of all types of stuff. Those things that we shouldn't be doing. Verse 9 says, and he gives us now another commandment. He says, do not grumble. Right? And basically, you know what that means? Do you know what it means? Stop grumbling. That's what it means. Do not grumble. Stop grumbling. Right? And what's interesting about grumbling, and we saw that last week as well, is that it's actually an internal problem when you start grumbling. Because when you're grumbling, you start to speak. And it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Is that true? So when we really analyze what the problem is, it is an internal thing. Okay. And what we do, we start to judge and blame and point fingers and all of those things. In fact, Jesus had a lot to say about this. Because this thing of judging people. Jesus actually said that this type of behavior, unacceptable. Okay. And not only did he say it's unacceptable, he said it must stop. He says in Luke 6 verse 37, he says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. So how do we stop the grumbling? Easy. Think first before we speak. That's the starting point. We need to start to think. And maybe it's also a good idea to start to pray into that situation, seeing you taking the time or we're taking the time to think about it. And then also, he wants us to show love. We know 1 Corinthians 13, I want to read verse 4. It says, love is patient. Again, it gets back to the fruit of the Spirit. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. So let's make sure that we have the facts before we open our mouths. And also for Christians, yes, this is very important. We need to consider the example that we are setting. Because remember, the world, unsaved people are looking at you and I in that context. And we should be saying to ourselves, if I really say this and do what I'm going to do right now, am I representing Jesus well? Am I? And then also, be careful to remember our obligation where the word says, forgive as we have been forgiven. So that's it. James has a whole lot of stuff that we can unpack. You know, the first thing we saw, remember, if we are tempted to lose patience, what do? Remember that the wait is worth it. If we're also tempted to, secondly, the second point he gave us is to lose a perspective, any form of perspective, he tells us right there, make every effort to draw close to the Lord if you're losing perspective, because then you'll get a perspective again. So drawing close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, if we are tempted and we start to blame other people, don't grumble. He said in verse 9, friends, don't complain about each other. A far greater complaint could be lodged against you. You know, the judge is standing just around the corner. So, there it is. Like I said before, when we share from James, I thought I'd finished James a long time ago, but you can't help going back there. But when we share James, and we share James accurately, it can be offensive, folks. I know none of us would be offended. Is that true? Anybody offended here? There we go. So none of us are offended. But yeah, you speak and you share James accurately, you can empty your church out. So next time I feel that there's too many people in this place and we need to scatter people, all right, I'll pull something out of the book of James and let's just make sure we preach it accurately, and then we'll see the place will be big enough again the next week. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that even today as we have been exposed to your word, the importance of us embracing the fruits of the Spirit, specifically the one of patience, Lord, we ask that you help us in all of these things. Thank you, Lord, for every single aspect of this morning, and Lord, that you just get us back here safely next week. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.